Darren McFarland. A lot
of it is that time of the day. Time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And Darren McFarland.
Chase McCain.
Oh, that could not have started better. We need to do that every time.
Darren McFarland.
It is that time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've lost Max for the remainder of this segment. So, Rex Road, quick standings update in our competition. Pigskin Pick'em, we're reaching the end, somewhat.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think I had my best week of the season. I went 5-1 and got my lock at 6. You went 3-3 with 3. Michelle went 3-2 with... Wait, did Michelle get her lock? Uh-oh. I might have screwed this up. Hold on. This segment is amazing, by the way. Amazing. Yes. No, wait a minute. So she's 3-2.
Yeah.
That is 3 points. Oh, my God.
I'm right so...
Dude, okay.
Darren
anyway.
McFarland.
Darren, please save us. Someone let Porth in. He's outside. He doesn't have a way into the security code. Michelle's 59-30, 69 points. She's 10-5 on her locks. I'm 45-45, 50 points. So I finally got to 500, 5-10 on my locks. You are 43-47. You're 4-11 on your locks. You have 47 points. You're 3 points behind me. It's really the race. It's you against me. So
I am truly atrocious on the locks. We'll see if we can get better on that front. All right, let's get rolling today on Pigskin Pick'em. The Niners and the Titans taking place tonight at Nissan Stadium. The Niners favored by 3 points in this game. Michelle Knezovic kicks us off. She has texted in her pick while she's on vacation. Michelle going with the Titans plus the 3 in this game. So Michelle confident in the Titans to get it done. Joe Rexroad, Niners favored by 3 in this game.
Yeah, I it's tough for me because I really I'm just not going to be surprised if the Titans come up with a really good performance. And these Thursday games are tough. They're tough, and I often do favor the home team. But I'm going to go ahead and go with the Niners. I just think they're playing better football right now. They're a better football team than the Titans are as currently constructed, and I think that they win by about a touchdown.
Give me the San Francisco 49ers. And make it my lock. I'm locking down on San Francisco in this game. I just really like the way they've been playing. I really like what they bring to the table, and I just don't trust the Titans' offensive line right now. So I will lock down on the San Francisco 49ers in this matchup. Joe Rexroad, the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Arizona Cardinals. I came very close to saying the St. Louis Cardinals. They're not playing them. Cardinals favored by 1.5 in this game against Indianapolis. Joe Rexroad. Cardinals by 1.5. Your thoughts?
You know, a few days ago, I'm going Colts. You know, the Colts, big win over the Patriots. They're playing great football. I think the Colts and Niners parallel each other. I've said that several times now in recent weeks. And, of course, the Cardinals looked just awful. They lost to the freaking Lions. But, actually, I think that they're going to respond to that because you should be very pissed off if you lose to the freaking Lions. They're home. They're in a very important race, just like the Colts are. But I think that the Cardinals at home get it done in a very close game. Give me the Cardinals minus the 1.5.
I will go with the Colts. Look, I think partially due to injuries and partially due to maybe what they really are coming to the table, I think there's a little bit of fraud to Arizona. I like the way the Colts have been playing. I think they're going to be able to run the ball in this game. Give me the Colts plus 1.5. Michelle Knezovic also going with the Colts. Plus 1.5 in this game. So if what I predicted has come true and the Titans lose and the Colts win, it's going to be an interesting week next week, Joe Rexroad.
Oh, yes, it will be.
So with that in mind, we begin our individual picks for the program. I'll kick us off, and I'm going to start in college football. Part of this is because I think the travel means something, and there's also somewhat of a home field advantage at play here as well. Give me Hawaii plus 8 against Memphis in the Hawaii Bowl. Memphis over there having a good time out there in Hawaii. I think that maybe distracts them from the game itself a little bit. I'll go with Hawaii plus 8 against Memphis. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
No, I like that pick. and I looked at that game too. But I like the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, you get a chance to pick the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, you jump all over that chance. It's I don't even know where the heck it is. But it's West Virginia against Minnesota. Give me PJ Fleck.
Oh, yeah.
And the Fleckers to row that boat, baby. -5. Give me the Gophers.
-5 against West Virginia. You never count out PJ Fleck. He will take off on a dead sprint at any time. Michelle Knezovic going with the Miami Dolphins this week, who are +3 against the Saints on Monday Night Football. Now, the Saints, Trevor Siemian just got put on the COVID list along with some others. So could be interesting to see what this game looks like on Monday night. But Michelle going Miami Dolphins +3 against the Saints. Dolphins, one of the hottest teams in football. They've won 6 in a row.
Hey, Max, you don't need to, you can shame me in front of everybody. Max just said into my earphones that it's a Guaranteed Rate Field. I don't even know where the heck that is. Where's Guaranteed Rate Field,
that's
Max?
The White Sox Stadium.
There you go.
Oh, is that right?
That's the only reason I know what Guaranteed Rate is.
Wait, it's in Chicago?
I don't think it is, but it would be a logical match.
All right, now I got to look this up.
It would be a little cold.
Max just throwing stuff out there.
Oh, it's Chase. It's actually Chase Field in Phoenix.
It's the Cheez-It Bowl, rebranded.
But there is a Cheez-It Bowl.
The Cheez-It Bowl still exists.
Oh.
They're not getting rid of the Cheez-It Bowl anytime soon.
I don't know.
They better
man.
Not.
That's right.
Yeah, no, they need to keep that going.
Joe Rexroad, kick us off with our second round of individual selections.
So, your guys, the Packers, they're in an intense race. This is the other Saturday game. I feel like the Browns are toast. You know, like they had it in their hands. They had first place in their hands without Baker against the Raiders, and they blew it. And I know that it's 7.5, and that's a little bit scary, but I think the Packers are going to win this by 10+. Give me the Packers at home against the Browns, -7.5.
So the Packers against the Browns. I was tempted. The 7.5 kind of scares me in that game. It was 7, maybe. It was 6.5, probably, definitely. But the 7.5 scares me off in that one. I will go with the Tampa Bay Bucks -10 against the Panthers. I think the Panthers are absolute cheeks at this point in the season. They are terrible. Tom Brady got shut out last week. I know there's no Godwin. There's probably not going to be Mike Evans either. We'll see what happens on that front. I think he might throw for 300 yards to Antonio Brown by himself and Gronk. So give me the Bucks -10 in this game against the Panthers. I thought about making that one my lock, but I didn't do it. Michelle Knezovic, with her second individual selection, is taking the Pittsburgh Steelers +7.5 against the Chiefs. It's a big one. You can hear this on 102.5 The Game coming up on Sunday. I don't think you have any confidence whatsoever in this pick, but the Pittsburgh Steelers +7.5 against Kansas City.
Well, who's Kansas City going to have?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's the thing. If they're missing Kelce and Hill, that might be a pretty good pick, which would be normal for Michelle.
It would be very normal for Michelle. Michelle closing us out with the final individual selection this week.
We have two more.
Oh, we do have two more. You're right. Which is why she has two more on the list. Makes sense. The Rams, -3 in this matchup. The Rams playing some good football as of late, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. That's a huge game for Minnesota. Michelle going -3 with the L.A. Rams in this game. Joe Rexroad, your third individual selection.
So I'm going to flip it around.
Okay,
on Michelle. It's a dicey proposition. But I believe in Kirk Cousins, Captain Kirk, and the Vikings.
Yes.
They're getting 3. I think they might lose a very close game. I feel much better about 3.5, but give me the Vikings +3 against the Rams.
The Vikings +3 against the Rams. For my third pick, I'm doing it. Give me the Detroit Lions +6. Against the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome to Detroit. They're playing some good football. That's a confident bunch. That's an inspired bunch. And quite frankly, I don't think the Falcons are very good. So give me the Lions +6 against the Falcons. Restore the roar, baby. No thoughts.
My thoughts are you took my pick, but I'm sticking with it.
Yes, come on. You just kick us off then.
I'm sticking with it. I'm all in, man. I'm all in on Dan Campbell. I mean, what kind of a speech is he going to give with a road win?
I don't know, man.
I mean, this could be like Gettysburg, you know? I mean, this is epic stuff. Restore the roar, baby. Lions +6. Both of us Michelle's going to just mop the floor with us this week. You can already see it.
Michelle going minus 10 with her final pick with the Chargers and the Texans. Chargers taking on the Houston Texans. Best quarterback in the league, Davis Mills, under center for Houston this week. Michelle doesn't care. Going with the Chargers in this game to cover the 10-point spread. We'll see if Brandon Staley goes for it on 4th and 5 or if he kicks field goals in this game.
I mean, if you're going against that defense, go for it on 4th and 19, man.
I'm going to take down the game of the year in the NFL for this week. And, you know, I think some people are overlooking it, but I'm excited for it. Give me the New York Jets +1 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. What a matchup this is going to be coming up this weekend. I think probably 9 people in America may watch this game. I'm going to be one of them. I'll find a way to get it on my television screen. Give me the Jets +1 at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. What a matchup.
I like that pick a lot.
Jaguars are awful.
The Jets are awful too. The cheekiest of the cheeks.
I have seen the Jets with my own eyes this year beat the Titans and the Bengals. So I have somewhat confidence they can snag one together against Jacksonville.
Yeah, they have a first-year coach who's still coaching the team. So, right there, they've got an advantage.
They do. Now, they've had some COVID issues this week, too. We'll see if that gets fixed before Sunday. But, yeah, give me the Jets +1 against the Jaguars. What an addition to Pigskin Pickle.
Yeah. After that 5-1 week, I feel like I can just see the 1-5s coming on.
It's totally going to come apart.
Yeah. It's. But you know what? I'm counting on you, Dan Campbell and the Lions. I'm counting on you.
Well, I just can't wait to see when they win how long this victory speech is going to be.
I mean, the thing is, they could lose by 3 and we could still win, which would be
fine.
That's
true.
Which would be just fine. I mean, the Falcons, I guess technically they're still in the playoff hunt. Technically, they're not mathematically eliminated. They're at home. But, yeah, they're not very good.
Max Herz, who do you have tonight between the Titans and the Niners?
George Kittle and I have two very strong mutual friends from his weightlifting group.
Oh, nice.
Oren Burks from your Green Bay Packers.
That is
and
correct.
My Vanderbilt Commodores. And also Philip Forsberg, who is not actually my friend, but he's very friendly.
He feels like it. Yep.
Yeah. So
he's everyone's friend.
I'm going to pick the 49ers.
Wow.
Wait, did you say weightlifting group? This is your weightlifting group?
It's a weightlifting group that consists of George Kittle, Philip Forsberg, Oren Burks, and many other professional athletes.
Robert Tonyan.
Tonyeezy.
Yeah.
Here in Nashville.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They're boys. Apparently, like everybody just comes to Nashville in the offseason and works out.
Yeah, yeah.
MLB pitchers, NFL players. Everybody just gets in Nashville.
Forsberg be on hand tonight in a Kittle jersey?
I think there's a strong chance. There's a strong
careful,
chance.
Careful, Forsberg. Don't go, rooting against your don't be like LeBron.
Probably got, like,
get
sideline passes out
with
there.
Your Yankees hat on.
Forsberg's going to be standing next to Kyle Shanahan tonight. Hand signals for Kittle.
Calling for a line change.
We'll see what happens on that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the Niners on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Little air drum bringing us back in from Joe Rex Road.
I mean, I think it's the best 30 seconds to open a song in rock history. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'll leave that to the people on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Anybody out there agree with me? If you disagree, I don't care. Shut up. I want you only agreements. I just want affirmation, okay? We're an affirmation society now.
That's right. Keith texting in. Porth has been gone 12 hours and the whole place is falling apart.
No way, man. No, Max just stumbled upon something that we need to utilize a lot.
Oh, every time.
Maybe do some scratching with a Darren McFarland.
Darren McFarland. I'm here for it.
Listen to that riff, Keith Richards. Change out that blood, man. Keep riffing.
You just keep going right along. Kyle texting in. I'm a huge Jags fan, and there's no shot we win, even with 17 guys out for the Jets. It's a battle for the first overall pick.
So it's tank time, huh?
Could be some tanking going on. Maybe so.
Okay. I mean, the guys who are on the field, they got to put stuff on film.
I mean, we did see the Jets last year just totally screw things up towards the end and win games to take themselves out of the number one overall pick and just hand it to Jacksonville. So maybe we'll see it again.
Yeah. The thing is, last year everybody's like, Trevor.
Yeah.
And he was the number one pick, and I still think should have been. This year, there's not that guy. Now, I think the quarterbacks will probably all move way up because that's what usually happens. So, like, Kenny Pickett, if he's the top QB, which most people seem to think right now, and I think he's very good, but he still, like, should go, like, 14th.
Yeah.
But he'll probably go super high.
Yeah.
But I think there's a very good chance that this is one of those years where you don't have a QB go first.
Well, I would say, like, if Jacksonville gets the first overall pick.
Well, then it won't.
Well, you'd think certainly.
And I think you would think certainly with the Jets, right? But who knows with that wacky organization.
About to say, for both of them. Like, I'm pretty confident Jacksonville's not taking a quarterback.
Good Lord. Well, the Zach Wilson stuff, it's also exaggerated.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
I saw that guy beat a pretty good defense on a fine day in New Jersey back in September.
Looked like
October.
He had a pretty nice connection with Corey Davis out there.
Game. I mean, he made some big plays.
He did.
Broken plays, getting outside the pocket, throws on the run.
That was back in the days where everybody still wanted to fire Shane Bowen.
That's right.
My, how things have changed.
That's a good point. Those were back in the days when Josh Reynolds was a playmaker for the Titans.
Yeah. Was it the Seattle game where he ran the Arena Football League offense?
I believe that's right.
Still maybe the greatest moment of this Titan season is Josh Reynolds coming in motion and then just taking off. He's up the field.
An underrated moment. He was wide receiver one against the Jets.
He was.
I don't remember him doing a ton, but he was wide receiver one.
He was. So both you and I are picking the 49ers to win this game. It seems like you struggled with it a little bit more than I did, though.
Yeah, I'm not – this is close to a toss-up game for me. If these two teams playing the way they are, constructed as they are, played like on a neutral field on a Sunday, then I would feel a lot better about picking the Niners. I do think that the other factors here favor the Titans and should help equalize things to some extent, but ultimately it's just hard to pick against the Niners, and it's hard to pick the Titans – even with A.J. Brown coming back, that offensive line is – we haven't seen Kendall Lamb in a long time. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. We're probably going to see a lot of him tonight. I mean, you're hoping – I mean, if you would have told me heading into the Kansas City game that, you know, Bobby Hart's the left tackle, probably not feeling great. Now, to their credit, they came out, they played well. You also had Derrick Henry in that game, so that makes a little bit of a difference there too, but – this is a different challenge against this San Francisco team. Like, I just – the other part of me also when I was thinking about this game is like, all right, like logically I'm sifting through this game and there are not many reasons there I think the Titans are going to win. That also seems to be when the Titans win and Mike Vrabel and company get it done. So I do recognize, like, at some point when that happens often enough, that is a factor. Like, I think there's something to that. I don't think it's the be-all, end-all of just, well, the Titans need to be underdogs and they'll go out and win. But I cannot discount, and I think really nobody should be able to discount anymore. Like, when people are counting them out, Vrabel seems to find a way to push the right buttons. And we'll see if he can do it again tonight.
Now, yes. Now, let's remember, though a lot of that same stuff was said by you and a lot of other people leading into the New England game, they lost 36-13. So
they did.
It doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes they actually beat crappy teams. Actually, still more often than not. And sometimes, you know, there's just a team that's better than them that they're lining up against and they're going to lose. And I think that's what's going to happen tonight.
Ryan from Nashville texting in. Titans need to get A.J. and Julio involved early. Quick passes, handoffs, screens. At the same time, the Niners are probably expecting that, so need to take some downfield shots to them and use tight ends to help in pass protection. This is coming from Ryan in Nashville. It'd be awesome if, like, the first play, it's just, here's a vertical route to Julio Jones. There you go.
That's what they tried last week.
I know.
Try it again. By the way.
Try it till it works.
I looked it up in that Jets game. Josh Reynolds was 6 for 59. Got targeted 9 times, 6 catches, 59 yards. There was a time this year where Josh Reynolds was a part of the offense.
That game worked out well for the Titans.
It was a cup of coffee, yeah. Well, you had, I mean, the receiving core that day was Rodgers, Reynolds, Westbrook, Akina.
Yeah.
Those were the only receivers who were targeted in that game.
Henry texting in. First day on the job, and Ebenezer McCabe has turned the heat off. This has been a problem long before McCabe.
Yeah, we can't blame Chase. We have to kiss Chase's butt now, so we can't blame him. Even if we wanted to blame him, we would not say it on the air.
This has always been Porth's fault, and now that he's gone, we can say it.
Everything bad has pretty much been Ryan Porth's fault. We didn't want to say it before for no particular reason, but now we're very comfortable calling him out.
It feels better in here now, although Rex Road's still bundled up like we're visiting Santa Claus at the North Pole.
Well, that might just be my circulation issues. But it was really cold earlier. You can elite, right? I mean, it was crazy cold.
It was pretty brisk in here. We'll see if Julio's hamstrings can hold up tonight in the cold as well. Like, I'm not even thinking about production he can have tonight. I'm literally, the only question I'm asking about Julio Jones in my mind right now is, all right, can he make it through four quarters? Like, is he going to play all four quarters? And I'm leaning towards no.
So if he plays all four quarters and has zero production?
I mean, that's not great.
That's a win?
I don't think it's a win. That's the question. My questions about him have nothing to do with production tonight. They really don't.
I need a Julio log, you know, for his participation. So he definitely left the Indy game early. He left the Chiefs game early. He left the Steelers game early. And he missed some too.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting at least one game. So how many games has he completed this year?
Has he completed two games in a row outside of the first two? Arizona, Seattle, I know he played all of that. Has he completed two games in a row outside of that?
That's a very good question.
I think the answer is no. He left the Indy game. He didn't play against New York. Did he play against Jacksonville? No, he didn't. He came back against Buffalo. He left the Kansas City game. I don't think he's in there for the second Indy game.
He did definitely start and finish the Rams win.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And, you know, he actually had a couple big catches in the fourth quarter, by the way. I mean, even in the limited form, he can still, he can still help your offense.
Well, and he didn't play against New Orleans because that was the week he got hurt. They shut him down from New Orleans through New England. So he has not finished two games in a row since Arizona and Seattle, first two games of the year.
There you go. Okay.
It's pretty amazing.
So he's got a chance to, do that if he finishes tonight. And then he has extra rest before.
No, he didn't finish last game.
No, I know. I'm saying if he finishes tonight, extra rest. I'm projecting ahead.
Okay.
Trying to be positive here.
Okay.
That's pretty amazing. You think about that.
Yeah.
He's got a two-game streak all year of starting and finishing two games in a row, and they were the first two games of the year.
Just think about it. I was feeling pretty good about Julio Jones after Seattle, and that was the last time we've seen him play two games in a row and finish. Pretty incredible. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herz here with you on this Thursday morning. As we do every Thursday at 9:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Hal, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Kind of trying to enjoy the shutdown. If there was ever a time for the NHL to shut down, it would be right around Christmas, right? So I guess we'll enjoy it.
I would say you are correct on that regard. On that front, before we get into the Preds stuff, you know, obviously, I understand why the decision is made, and it's probably the right decision for sure by the NHL and the NHLPA. Hal, I'm bummed out that we're not going to see NHL players taking place in the Olympics. What's kind of your thoughts on NHL players in the Olympics in general? There's kind of two schools of thought on it. There's the thought that you hear from a lot of GMs and owners of, all right, we don't think the benefit's really that great, and all you're really doing is putting our players at risk at that point. And then there's people like me who think there's a pretty great benefit to it. I remember watching in 2010 when the U.S. and Canada had the gold medal game, and it was just awesome. I mean, the whole country was watching that game. Where do you kind of come down on NHL players in the Olympics?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's a huge honor to play in the Olympics. So I know you know, as an NHL player, yeah, it's great you're in the NHL, but you also want to play for your country in the best showcase in sports. And that being said, it's the best showcase in sports. I mean, it's the best. It's the creme de la creme, and that's the best way to get your game out there is to have all the best talent in the world playing against each other. So promoting the sport alone is a tough miss. With all that being said, the uncertainty and everything that's going on, it's just not worth it, I don't think. So I hate to say it, but because I've always wanted the NHL players, I want the best players in the world to be there playing in the Olympics, but it's just not worth the risk right now. So I agree with the decision, and it also opens up some time to make up these games, maybe tinker with the schedule a little bit to try to make it all work out instead of taking 3 weeks off in the middle of a season that's been beaten up already. So it's a tough one, and I will say the other side is there's a lot of guys out there that are going, hey, wait a second, I have a chance to play in the Olympics. If the NHL isn't going, there's a bunch of great players that are going to get their chance. So it still should be good hockey and should be fun to watch. It's just not going to be the best players in the world.
Do you feel good, Hal, moving forward? Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of discussion, and players are very disappointed last time around. Do you feel good that moving forward, after we're hopefully finally through all this stuff, that we'll see that be a regular thing?
To see the regular thing as far as the Olympics, you mean?
Yes.
I do think I think the players kind of made their stamp on it and said, hey, we want to play. And moving forward, I think they should play, you know, in a non-COVID world. Absolutely. I think it should be part of every Olympic conversation is having the best players. It's the best players in the world. You should have them playing it.
So, Hal, obviously there's never a good time, I guess, for a pause when you're playing well, but the Preds win 7 games in a row. Obviously you're rolling off points left and right, and you're doing it in some games with no Matt Duchene. Some games, I mean, half your lineup basically was out, and you're still able to find ways to win. As you watch the way the Predators were playing before the pause, what did you like the most? What kind of stood out to you the most about the way they were playing?
The whole package. I mean, that's how you win in the NHL. You know, you can have a really good line, and you're going to go out and lose games because that line is going to get shut down. I feel like the Preds have the total package. Everything was firing. You had primary scoring. You know, Forsberg, Duchene were going. Johansson, Gromlund. Like, that's all your primary scoring. But then you look at Tolvanen scoring. He had a 4-game goal streak. Tanner Janot getting involved. Yakov Trent and Colton Sissons go up and down the lineup. Tommy Novak scored a big goal. You know, when you get contributions from every line, that's how you win. And not just scoring, but playing the right way, doing the right things, killing penalties, power play was coming along, all these good things. You had... You know, Josi and Ekholm are fantastic, but you have Carrier and Fabbro that were playing well. And then I was really happy to see, Borowiecki and Benning were coming, and they really put a stamp on that third pair. And, of course, Juice and Rittich have been fantastic. So that's how you win in the NHL consistently is you get everyone going. And, it's kind of a stinker to, talk about the Grinch. I mean, shutting down when you're going that hot, it's not fair. But I think they're doing all the things the right way. It's not just a blip on the screen. I think they're playing good hockey, so they should be able to turn it right back on and fight for the top of the division. They're a point out. They're a point away from leading the Western Conference. Who would have said that?
Not very many people, that's for sure. I was just going to ask you, what if someone told you that 2 months ago?
I was skeptical in the beginning of the season, but you started to see guys come around like Janot and Trennan, you know, kind of pick up and help out with the scoring, and then hey, we've all been waiting for Duchene and Johansson to put up numbers, and they're doing it. Forsberg's doing it, so why wouldn't they be up in the top? You know, they're doing all the right things. It certainly surprised me, but if you're watching closely, you start to believe a little more and more every day. And I think that's basically what the team has done, is start to believe in themselves.
Hal, obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about John Hines, and there's been a kind of a different variety of reactions from Predators fans on him since the moment he was hired. Now, at this point, I don't know how you really argue with what he's done. I guess my question to you is, as a player who's played the game, who's been on the ice, who's been through a bunch of different coaching staffs, like, how much credit does a coaching staff like really deserve? Like, how much can a coach actually change in terms of the culture, the way the game is played? Like, how do you view that as a former player?
Well, let's put it this way. If the team isn't going well, what happens?
Yep.
The coach gets fired. So I think that tells you everything you need to know. Is, you know, it's all a results business. And so how is he getting it done? I think he's getting it done by getting a commitment from the players to play the right way. And, you know, defensive zone, the way they're playing, their commitment to the defensive side of the puck has been good, and he's got that buy-in. And when you get results, then everyone says, okay, this is how we win. Everyone, you know, how many times have you heard these guys say winning is fun? And if you're playing the right way and playing the coach's way and you win, you just want to keep doing it more. And so I think Hines is, and I give credit all the way around the coaching staff. I feel like they have a good mix of energy and poise, good leadership, and extends into the core group of players. But they have a buy-in, and when you have a buy-in and everyone is roping, everyone's riding, then they go out and have fun and win games.
And anyone in particular, Hal, you think could, you know, maybe benefit from this? Obviously, like you said, they're on a roll. They would have loved to kept playing, but is there someone who comes to mind who's like, okay, this actually may be good for this guy to, you know, get away a little bit?
That's the sad part, is there really isn't a guy that that really needs a break and needs to get away. I think they're all having fun winning. I will say Colton Sissons, after half the lineup out, he moves up and plays 25 minutes on the first game and then 23 minutes on the second game, has a goal, has an assist. I mean, that's a warrior going out there. And if anyone deserves a break after that back-to-back that they last played, it would be Colton Sissons. And talk about stepping up. If you're looking around, that's a guy who stepped up big time and found a way to get two wins coming in as the first line center and carrying the weight. And so he deserves a good Christmas and a good break after that performance.
Skillsy, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Hope you and the family have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, stay safe out there, guys, and thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Pretty incredible stuff when you think about the timing of all this. And, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times. Colton Sissons, they played him into the ground the last couple of games. And he goes right out there and produces.
Oh, he does everything.
Yeah.
Does everything well. When Colton Sissons is your number one center, things tend to happen that are good for you.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the 49ers, give our final thoughts on the game coming up tonight. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herz here with you on this Thursday morning.
Not one of my favorite Beatles songs, but it is better than a softcore porn theme song.
Max has no idea what you're talking about. Which
you don't know what I'm talking about? Okay. This is awesome. We haven't talked about this enough lately. We're the only show in town that's honest about this. do you know the movie 50 Shades of Grey? I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
I have not, but I
know. And you haven't seen it either, right? No one admits to having seen it.
Well, I've seen parts of it.
I would admit to having seen it if I've seen it.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, the Stillman and Company theme song is apparently from that movie.
50 Shades of Grey.
So I don't know what's happening while that song is playing in the movie, but chances are something pretty saucy.
I can never unlearn that. pretty amazing.
You can never unsee parts of that movie you've seen, apparently. Parts. That's an interesting answer. You've seen parts of it.
I've seen parts of the movie.
Good parts? Like, was it good?
No, it's just been on, and I'm walking around.
Okay.
Max, you survived today. We got here, and Max didn't know if he was going to.
I had a blast. No, I went to sleep at 8:30 last night. I mentally prepared myself, and here I am.
What were you mentally preparing yourself for?
To be awake.
Okay.
At 4 o'clock.
Not for idiotic things that you needed to censor on the fly. You probably thought that might have been possible.
You guys are easy. You let me speak on air, which I don't know if I even want to do that, but here we are.
Who doesn't let you speak? Is this a call out of Darren, Donick, and Chase?
No.
We have to be nice to Chase now.
But not Darren and Willie?
Well, they're fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Darren
McFarlane.
Max, I hope you're making plans for Saturday, January 15th. Cleveland Brown, FIU, taking on MTSU.
Okay, so I looked this up, and I put it on the schedule. That, honestly, is probably going to be during the Titans' first playoff game, right?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Saturday, January 15th?
Yeah,
unless the Titans get the Monday night playoff game, which, honestly, they also might get that.
Yeah.
Because it's the AFC South.
That is true.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's right.
Well,
usually
priorities, Rex Road. Get out there to Murfreesboro.
Well, yeah, we will get a skybox at the Murphy Center, which I don't think such a thing exists. But we will stand on the running track at the Murphy Center, and we will cheer for Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll stream it if nothing else.
That's right. Joe, your final thoughts on the Niners and the Titans tonight? Going to be a big one for the Titans, obviously. If you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I didn't think this San Francisco game was really going to be that big of a deal. This is a big one for the Titans. They need to win this game, and we'll see what happens with the Colts and Cardinals over the weekend. But the last thing you want on Monday morning, if you're the Titans, is for us to be in here talking about a race in the AFC South that may come down to the wire against the Colts.
Yeah, very possible. Monday, we're talking about the Colts and Titans with the same record. Colts or Titans, obviously, with the tiebreaker. But that's very possible. And I think this will be one of the most impressive wins of the year for the Titans, and they've had a lot of them. Dominating the Chiefs, beating the Bills when they were playing at their absolute best. Honestly, winning at Seattle when Seattle had just hammered the Colts in the opener, we thought this was going to be – I mean, Seattle was supposed to be a contender. Certainly one of the, in a great division. And then, of course, the Rams game you think about. This would be, to me, one of the best wins because the 49ers – they may be 8-6, but that's not an 8-6 team. This is a team that can make a run in the NFC, and they're physical, they're creative. Where they are vulnerable is in the secondary, and that's what the Titans have to unlock is how do you take advantage of that? You have your best receiver back, we expect. You have is he your second best receiver? In salary, he's number one, but – but you have Julio Jones, you have A.J. Brown, you have a running game that's been going pretty well. Todd Downing, Ryan Tannehill, those are the people of interest, and it's always very much part of the discussion, the quarterback, the OC. A lot of credit, a lot of blame, but I mean, they're really on the spot tonight, and if they can get it done, I think the Titans' defense – That's the primary matchup that I'm excited to watch is the 49ers trying to run it on the Titans. 49ers are very good at running it, very physical, very creative. Titans they're playing high-level defense right now.
They are, and they're going to need to play some high-level defense tonight as well. We've talked about not turning the ball over. It would be nice if you could force a couple tonight if you're the Titans as well. They did that against Jacksonville. Other than the Jacksonville game, though, they've not been very good at doing that as of late. You force one against Pittsburgh. Gets called back on the Jeffrey Simmons penalty. Be nice to go out there and force a couple tonight, too, for this defense.
Yeah, if you just tell me turnover battle winner equals game winner, I'd buy that all day.
Yeah.
Tannehill, you can't make that mistake. Whoever has the ball, high and tight. Yeah, I'm sure they drilled that triple time.
Hold on the ball. Cover that thing up. Ferkser.
I was going to say they drilled it triple time, but, of course, there really wasn't any practice.
Mental reps.
So, yeah, a lot of Butch Jones mental reps. Peter Schrager picking Ferkser to have more yards than George Kittle.
That's – we've had some doozy called shots from the Call Your Shot Friday. That one's That one's up there.
If that happens, I'm going to make Peter Schrager the worst picture I can find of Peter Schrager. I'll make that my Twitter account for a week, okay? I'll make that my Twitter, whatever you call that.
If that profile happens, pick, okay? We're going to have Peter Schrager abandon his Good Morning Football duties, and he's going to come up with us one day next week for 4 hours.
There's that.
Think you'll do that?
Probably.
I think they're done at 9. I think you guys could get them at 9.
We might be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a – what are you talking about?
Ferkser has 198 yards on the year in 12 games.
And how – like
– George Kittle very well could have 198 yards tonight.
I mean, see, he really could. There is absolutely no way that happens.
I mean, Kittle would have to get hurt.
Right.
That's what it is. And I guess – and look.
And it better be, maybe the Titans, it better be on the first play.
Yeah. Maybe the Titans have just got this monster game plan for George Kittle tonight. They're not letting him come back home to Nashville and have a special game. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that'll open things up for Juwan Jennings.
Maybe so.
Who, by the way, has been a very nice part of that team.
The over-under on receiving yards for Juwan Jennings tonight, 19.5.
If we're shouting out Niners players just because they went to college.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to shout out
Trent Sherfield. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. The best punt coverer in NFL history.
Yeah.
He was a very good player.
Oh, he was one of my favorites ever.
Very good player.
He was great.
Got some Vandy and Tennessee love. There you go, Robbie.
Do you think
balance out your Vols homerism?
You think they fight each other on like the sideline, like because all of Vanderbilt hates Juwan Jennings?
Trent is a lover.
Yes,
not a fighter.
Who gets more receiving yards tonight, Juwan Jennings or Julio Jones? They could ever be asking that question. I think it's a legitimate question.
It's an absolutely legitimate question. What's the you said it's a 19.5?
19.5.
Julio's not on the board.
Julio's not on the board yet. My guess is his will be more than 19.5.
But it'll be what, like 27?
Maybe. It's pretty incredible.
Right?
Oh, man.
If it's higher than that, give me the under.
Yeah. By the way, we will have a show tomorrow. Joe Rexroad taking off to Florida. Elijah Campbell will be in tomorrow. We'll be on from 8 to 12. So a little bit of a later start tomorrow for Christmas Eve. Gives me some time to sleep in after this monster football game tonight on Thursday Night Football, but we will be on 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Very nice.
So make sure you keep that in mind.
I'll call in and bother you guys.
Joe Rexroad will join us at some point tomorrow on the show. So looking forward to that as well. Max Herz, you'll be back tomorrow as well. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
We appreciate you.
Hey, that, you know what? Those bump songs that you didn't play for me today, you can still play those tomorrow.
Thank you. We'll see what we can do. That does it for us here today. Darren Donick and Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.